Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
I will say Vegemite is not the flavor of the week. But I do appreciate the gesture for Smasher Pass.
Did you guys go and brush your teeth?
I don't have a toothbrush
here. We had a guy that used to work here that carried that toothbrush around.
You kind of have to. This job will give you hot breath.
It really does. Yeah.
I mean, just there's nothing you can do about it. You talk for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. You talk after the show. And then you go like somewhere and you see somebody's reaction. Like, oh, I got to carry mints in my car.
Yeah, I always have to have something in there now. And like me, I drink coffee in the morning, so that adds
double
to
take.
It, you know.
This is from the A16. My dad grew up really poor in the backwoods of Missouri, and his family's idea of a milkshake was milk and some saltine crackers mixed together.
Hmm.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Somebody says mixed paste chunky salsa with cottage cheese. Fire. From that text. Lay's potato chips dipped in pork and beans. I will say this.
Oh, that does sound good, though.
That's that I can get down with.
Yeah, I can get down with that. Good. Yeah.
I will say this. When I was a kid, one of my favorite snacks was Lay's potato chips and the Chef Boyardee spaghetti and meatballs. I would pour those
spaghetti
in.
Spaghetti and meatballs, man. Well, the Chef Boyardee stuff is just not for me.
I can smell it right now,
and I want to throw up.
I loved the raviolis.
No. One time, my mother tried to punish me. You're eating this cold can of SpaghettiOs, and the smell
on that.
That's
punishment? I'd have got in trouble every day.
Look at Mac's face. It's worse than mine.
I did not consistency, the smell, I'm smelling it.
Yeah, you're smelling it right now, right? Yeah.
Because I used to love you took the plastic lid off, then you ripped the metal lid off, put the plastic lid back on because it had little holes on top.
That must be a new one because for us, you had a can opener. And you opened it, poured it in a bowl, and ate it. And those meatballs. What were those meatballs made out of? Sawdust?
You don't ask.
The sound of it pouring out of the can.
No.
I don't think that's what it sounds like. But
it's like when you open the cranberry jelly, you go.
Yeah, that one's fine. What you just did is like.
No, but that's the way it was with that spaghetti. Oh, God.
I liked it.
Oof. I mean, it smells like vomit. It really does. Like, yes. It's just, and it looks like it, and it tastes like it.
Definitely looks like it.
Pork and beans and cottage cheese. Bustin'.
Whoa. Man.
Maybe.
What's happening?
I don't know. What's happening at left tackle? Who's going to be that person?
Yeah, both of them right now is the answer to that question. You know, just trying to find out some information, you know, recently to bring it to the airwaves, as they like to say. They're rotating, you know, both guys right now, and they feel comfortable either way. Okay, great. I give the benefit of the doubt to Andy Reid. I give the benefit of the doubt to Andy Heck, the offensive line coach. What they want to do, I'm all for today. But just so you know, if DJ Humphreys ends up being that guy and it becomes a problem, then you open yourself up to criticism for this. Because, again, as we've talked about as this week has gone on, I didn't wake up Monday morning thinking this would be a conversation piece the entire week. And here we sit, and it, you know, I don't know that they know at this point in time who's going to start at that left tackle position, but I'm also a believer of I don't fix what's not broken, and it's been working the last couple of weeks. But again, Andy Reid has got the hardware, the championships, and he knows a hell of a lot more about football and his players than I do. So I give the benefit of the doubt to Andy Reid. Whatever he decides to do, I'll be behind it. but it can't go south. And you can't have your quarterback frustrated in this game on Saturday afternoon.
I mean, I think he would go one drive before he would be like, all right, switch it.
That's kind of what I'm thinking too, Dusty. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know that it would go one drive. Like, I mean, first play of the game, all of a sudden here comes, you know, Will Anderson off the left tackle side, the right side of the defense, and he's in right in Mahomes' face, and it's DJ Humphries out there. How quickly do you wait?
No, I mean,
because there's no tomorrow.
Which, to me, and this is where we can end this conversation, because we say we'd nip it in the bud, but, like, this is the thing where it's like, why even worry about that?
Like, I know, right?
You know, like why even put yourself through that process where it's like, all right, we're going to see what the guy can do at left tackle, see if he can hold it straight. And look, maybe on Monday we look like a bunch of clowns, and that guy goes out there, allows zero pressures, no sacks, and Humphries is, like, you know, all of a sudden rebranded or reborn at left tackle. And it's like, all right, now we got our left guard, we got our left tackle, we have our center, we got our right guard, and right tackle is Juwan Taylor. That's our weakest spot on the line, and we're set to go. But the other thing that could happen is, like, you're having the conversation, like, why does it need to be an experiment when it comes to divisional round playoff?
Right.
Like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. If you want it there because you want the run game, we know the Chiefs don't run the ball. If that's the case, if you get up, you know, big enough, and in the second half, then put him out there and move Tooney back inside and then start running the ball. We know they won't run the ball. They were up by 21-0 or 21-7 against Cleveland, and they threw it 8 consecutive times. So until you can prove to me that they will run the ball and that the reason they're doing this is because they want to be efficient running it, I got to see it to believe it, and I've never seen it with Kansas City.
Right.
Underneath this regime, underneath Andy Reid, they do not run the ball with Patrick Mahomes. They won't. Andy Reid, I bet – actually, I won't say that. I would say that Patrick Mahomes might have more rushing yards than one of the running backs this week.
Nah.
It won't happen because one of them will have like 55 and the other one will have like 40.
Right.
Which, shoot.
But if Mahomes gets a big run, you know, obviously. I mean, what did we say yesterday? The higher lower was on underdog 22.5 yards rushing for Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
What'd you say you were going to go with, Mac?
Over.
I'll take the under. I kid. But that's kind of where the number is, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like 22.5 yards rushing for Patrick Mahomes in this game. So, you know, do what you want, obviously, in that type of situation. But again, it's not broken, man. Like, to me, I would have focused on something else. But that's just me. That's why I'm not Andy Reid. That's why, you know, I'm not the head coach right now in the NFL.
So every year, every week, every month, every other day, there's some sort of thing on X where it says, you know, the all-time greatest Lions, the all-time greatest Vikings. We came up with ours. And it is your all-time favorite Chiefs lineup. You get a quarterback, a running back, and 3 pass catchers.
Right.
So again, I'll slow it down. All-time Chiefs lineup, you get 1 quarterback, 1 running back, and 3 pass catchers. Right.
And, Mac, I don't know why you have Tyler Palko as your quarterback. Please explain that.
Right. I think Mac's list would be the unanimous one.
Yeah, I think
probably
so.
For most people.
It's
so
pretty similar to mine.
So, yeah, okay. You guys go ahead, and then I'll try to do something different that makes sense.
I like the fact that you went different. I went different in the running back era as well. For me, Mac, you go first, since your name's in bold and it's first.
Yeah, bold.
And mine's written down on a notepad.
I got Patrick Mahomes. I think that's probably going to be a wash there. I've got Jamal Charles, and then I went with just pass catchers.
Yeah, just pass catchers.
Pass catchers. Yes. Yep. Okay, so.
Because somebody was talking about, like, the 3 greatest wide receivers. I'm like, nah, let's do pass catchers because the game has evolved.
That opens it up, exactly. So I'm going to go Travis Kelce and Tony Gonzalez. And then I'll also do Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill is on my list as well. He's the best wide receiver in the organization's history. Now we may see Rashee Rice. We may see Xavier Worthy pass him at some point in time. Mm-hmm. But he's the greatest as we sit here right now, right? And you guys can weigh in on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line as well at 913-586-7965. I got Mahomes as well at quarterback. You know, upset alert there. Kelce, Tony Gonzalez, Tyreek Hill is your pass catchers. And then for my running back, I go with Marcus Allen. And the reason I go with Marcus Allen is because there wasn't a better running back, in my opinion, in the red zone than Marcus Allen. The Chiefs can't get anything done in the red zone. Marcus Allen knew how to cross the goal line. So give me Marcus Allen.
Love it.
Kind of took the same route. Obviously, Mahomes is the quarterback.
I went with
Priest Holmes.
It's a good one.
You talk about red zone and being efficient. I would say he was almost better than Marcus Allen because he could do the leap. He could do the tuck underneath. He could get outside and stretch it. Priest Holmes was, I mean, just a childhood hero for me. Just knew how to just all the time. Just had that offensive line. Could do the leap. I mean,
and that factors in too, being that childhood hero, right?
Yeah.
You never give up on those guys.
The leap was basically the tush push. It was unstoppable. Like, hardly ever did Priest get stopped because he was so big and could get outside, too. He's quick enough to do that to where, like, when he hit the springs, like, you didn't know it was coming, and he scored every single time. It was awesome. My pass catchers, Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Dwayne Bowe.
Let's go.
I mean, most catching, almost, I think, tied or maybe has the most touchdown catches in Chiefs, like, single season. I think one year he had like 13 or 14 touchdown grabs.
No,
in one
it was, year. I think it was either 10 or 15. It was that first year of Matt Castle.
It was his contract year. Yeah, he was unstoppable.
He was him and Castle were dynamic.
Remember that
year.
Catch he had against the Colts in the playoffs where he was like going out of bounds and like tiptoed and caught it one-handed and then went out of bounds?
Yep.
Nasty. Guy was good. Guy was real good.
Yeah, 15 tuds.
Yeah, 15 touchdowns in one season.
And I think Castle had 25 that year. 15 of them.
Wow.
15 of them.
Damn. Imagine
in all honesty, there's not a better, more prolific receiver, quarterback, touchdown combination in KC history than Matt Castle and Dwayne Bowe.
I mean, 15 tugs in one year and 25 years, like almost half. Like,
think about that, though. 15 touchdowns he had receiving from Matt Castle. I don't know that anybody has had more.
That's insane.
I think Kelce had
27 that year, so only 12 to the rest of the team, 15 to Dwayne Bowe. That's crazy.
Nuts. Yeah. Well, when you have Donnie Avery.
Yeah. And then it was a connection. It was fun to watch those two.
And then, Otis is the last receiver.
That's a good one,
He's a solid guy.
Legend, Hall of Famer,
So I tried to get a mix of, like, every sort of, like, I know Mahomes and Kelce are in the same, and Priest and Bowe are kind of not really the same era, but, like, a little bit of touching there, and then then you got big Otis out there who's just a beast back in his prime. So,
is Christian Okoye a possible argument for running back?
You can put Christian in there.
Yeah.
I love Christian.
Somebody says on the text line they'd like to see Christian Okoye with smaller pads in this era of the NFL.
Oh, okay.
Who would you rather tackle, Derrick Henry or Christian Okoye?
Christian Okoye.
I think Okoye.
I'd like to know how much of that was pads. Derrick Henry, it's like almost like hardly any pads, and it's all muscle and just. And
have you not seen Christian in person?
No, I know he's a big guy.
Yeah, he's. I mean, yeah.
What do you think about Derrick Henry when you saw him shirtless? Thank you. I'll rest my case. Yeah. Okay.
He's also a lot younger than Christian. No offense, Christian.
No doubt, but I mean.
Either one would be a nightmare. No pun intended.
Booger McFarland has some advice for you. We need your advice in the text line because it's going to be cold on Saturday. Plus Nate Taylor at 8:25. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty and Mac on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
From the 785, they said, go explosive with your all-time Chiefs team. Go Jamal Charles with Mahomes, Kelce, Dante Hall, and Tyreek Hill. That'd make Mike McDaniels just absolutely lose his mind. Like, see, if I had that, I'd be the best coach ever.
Yeah, so would I.
I got Waddle, Hill.
Boy, if I had Patrick Mahomes, I'd be really good at this coaching thing. Oh, okay.
What are you trying to say about Andy Reid?
Nah, I'm not talking about Andy Reid.
Yeah.
He's one without Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I think, is that like the biggest what if in the Chiefs like fandom? Is like, what if Charles and Mahomes played together? Or is it, what if Derek Thomas was on this defense?
I think everybody would lean towards DT being on this defense. Yeah, okay. I do.
I think a lot of people just love offense. I think, we had Jamal Charles. Plus, I think they use the Jamal Charles, like, era of, the way the team was, like, how bad they were. Like, man, if you put him on this team, man, three-time Super Bowl winner, like, Hall of Famer. Not going to be a Hall of Famer now, even though he leads the NFL in yards per rush in the history of the game as running back.
I don't understand why he doesn't. I mean, has he been out long enough to be considered for the Hall of Fame yet? I don't know that he.
I bet he's been out since 2020.
Oh, yeah, he has now. Yeah.
Because I don't think he was playing during COVID.
Got 2015 is when we played the Broncos and finally beat them. And then, like, in 2016 or 17, he go to Denver. No, he's been out. Yeah, he's had to have been out for.
He had that weird stop in Jacksonville in 2018.
He did? Two games.
I didn't know that.
I don't remember that at all.
Doesn't seem like he. Six carries for 7 yards.
Okay.
In what year?
2018.
Man,
he should never have done those six carries. It kills his average.
Yeah. It does. Yeah.
So 23, he was eligible for the first time for the Hall of Fame.
He's never getting in.
Nah, he's not.
No. So obviously we've lived in Kansas City long enough. I've lived here my whole life. I know that it gets cold in January and Chiefs games get cold. This was Booger McFarland's advice.
What's the worst feeling in the cold?
Pre-game warm-up is kind of the worst because you got to get your body loose and warm. And once you get loose and warm, and no lie, small shot of whiskey. I mean, we don't need anything hard like vodka. I mean, we don't need anything. Just like a small shot of, a little Tennessee something light. just to kind of get the throat nice and warm, put the Tiger Balm on, get ready to go, get lubed up a little bit. Oh. And here's the last thing. You got to put the full body onesie on, the ski suit, cut the toes out, all right? Make sure that the shoes are nice and dry. And once you get warm, the key is to stay warm. Like the worst thing you ever want to do is get warm and then cool off, because then you freeze. All that perspiration freezes up and you'll be cold as hell.
So you got to get a little bit of, you know, whiskey, basically Jack Daniels is what he's saying.
Lube? Not the hard stuff like vodka, just whiskey.
What do you say?
Yeah, what? I was like, wait, what?
Isn't whiskey harder than vodka?
I think so.
I mean, vodka tastes terrible, but yeah.
Well, it depends on what kind you get,
yeah,
though.
That's true.
You know?
Like, whiskey, some whiskey like, can taste bad. Whiskey,
yeah.
Yeah, like, you can have, like, I mean, there's, I don't know, Booker's. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's like 123% alcohol. It's brutal.
Woo.
Yeah, it's like 96 proof or whatever it is. It's tough. You got to put an ice cube on there to sweat it out.
You don't want the hard stuff like vodka.
Mm-hmm. But whiskey's fine. Like
but whiskey's
Daniels.
Good, yeah. I'm sure there are people taken aback, like, oh, my God, what they're drinking before the game?
You say lube up the throat?
Yeah.
Why? Why does the throat matter when it's cold like that?
Don't eat Vegemite before the game.
<That'll>, no, don't do
Dusty's
that.
Dusty's still wanting to puke.
That'll wake you up, dude.
That's true.
The cold thing, though, for me, that because I passed layers. That around to my daughters for this weekend. They're like, yeah, the gloves, like my hands get cold in the gloves. I'm like, yeah, mine do, too. And then I heard Booker talk about it. I'm like, maybe because our fingers are sweating and then we're putting them back in the gloves and it's freezing or something like that. But, I mean, what are your secrets to keeping warm, text line? Because we're all going to be blazing out there and dealing with the cold elements. I'm probably going to go...
Layers.
Yeah, I'm thinking 4 layers on my legs, right? I'll wear a pair of, like, what do you call those? Tights.
Johns.
Yeah, long john tight type pants. Then I'll probably wear a pair of, like, joggers. Then I'll put a pair of jeans on over that. And then I'll put snow pants on over the jeans. So I'll probably have about 4 layers of pants that I'll be wearing. And probably the same on top, 4 or 5 different layers on top, hat, gloves. And for me, and I know people kind of roll their eyes at this one, the key to staying warm, I do believe, is the scarf.
Mm-hmm.
The scarf around your neck. Make sure you roll it and tie it around your neck. That, to me, has been the difference maker in staying warm at these games versus freezing at these games.
I'm always keep my feet and hands warm, and I think that kind of keeps everything kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, like, I have, like, these Bombas, these type of socks. Yep. They're, like, ankle socks. I'll put those on. Then I'll put, like, my, like, Nike socks on over that, and then wool socks.
Yeah, I'll wool
so
sock.
Then my feet are good.
Mm-hmm.
Then
do you use the heat packs in your feet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do, too.
I'll put them on the side of each side of my boot.
Ooh, that's a good
idea. Boots, so I put one on each side.
Not on the bottom, though.
No, because then it's only going to focus on the bottom of my foot. This keeps, like, the whole foot warm.
Oh, I like that. I never thought about that idea. That's a good one.
There you go.
All right.
And then I'll go, like you said, I'll go long johns. I'll go, like, a pair of joggers and then jeans. I won't do the snow pants. One, I don't own any. Two, I think it's, for me, I don't need that much. And then tops the same way, like an Under Armour, long john, and then I'll do like a t-shirt, sweatshirt over that, and then jersey over the hoodie, or the hoodie, not sweatshirt. And then I'll put the jacket, scarf, beanie.
Yeah.
And then gloves, and I'll put the heaters
in
the palm.
Yeah.
And then I'll just kind of, you know, pouch it.
Pouch it, yeah. No, I like the heat packs on the side of the boot. That's a pretty good move. I'm going to try that. I'm going to put it on the bottom and on the sides.
Yeah, I mean, why not? If you want to go all the way around.
Throw them on top.
Yeah, both sides, ankles.
But I do believe the feet are the key to the whole thing, too. If your feet are freezing, the whole body's going to freeze. Mac will have his shirt off.
Oh, God. You think any players for Houston will be out there warming up without their shirts on?
Of course they will.
Bring that energy, baby. Nate Taylor, he brings that energy. It's that time for Nate Taylor.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
Nate Taylor presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Nate, I know I'm crazy, but that press box even gets cold when it's cold out there, doesn't it?
Oh, you know it especially if you're next to the glass. So you know it's not going to be like last year, which you guys are so right. As soon as your toes leave you, because one of the things that you forget, and I remember seeing some friends in the tailgate who, by the way, shout out to them, they still tailgated, and you be on that concrete in the parking lot, and then you go to the concrete in the stands, and you're just like, okay, what we're about to do is kind of insane. So I'll always remember that night, and that'll be a big difference. At least we'll see the sun
when this game
kicks off on Saturday. But yeah, keep your feet warm. I mean, again, to your guys' point, heaters, you know, double, triple socks, get those snow boots ready, even though, you know, thankfully we won't see snow on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's more of a situation for us sitting out in the stands and tailgating than it is ultimately for the players. I mean, they got the benches on the sidelines. They have more opportunities to go back in, stay warm. Like, I think the players are fine in this type of environment. I think it's for us. We're going to be the nuts out there freezing at 10:30 in the morning doing fireball shots. Well, maybe you're not, but I will.
Yeah. Your torso and up, you know, your torso up, you might be loose and feel great with a little alcohol in you. It is the waste now. That is the issue. I do remember during the 2022 seasons, right? This was like either the day before or the day after Christmas. I can't remember, but they played the Seattle Seahawks, and I do remember
that was Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve. Yeah, so like I remember Seattle. You know, they get cold weather. It snows up there. All those guys, I would advise the Texans not to do this, because all the guys for the Seahawks, all their skill position players, including DJ Metcalf, had their shirts off in the warm-up. Like, we're going to warm up. We're going to show, like, you know, we're not affected. They did not play well. It's like you kind of maybe you're more focused, you know, the pregame, you know, look and feel of this all versus, like, you know, just – keep your body warm as much as possible. That way you can perform at your best. So I would advise the Texans not to do that. You know, they're also from Houston. So this will be a little bit of a different environment than obviously playing indoors. But yeah, this is the beauty of the playoffs. Whatever it takes, I guess, to get you psyched up, how much of that energy is actually going towards your performance, towards your opponent, versus the internal psychological stuff inside of you that can actually take away energy from the task at hand.
Nate, you want the pressure and tell the entire listening audience who's going to be starting at left tackle on Saturday?
I love pressure. I live for it. I appreciate it. You know, as Billie Jean King says, pressure is a privilege.
No doubt.
We're going to give the pressure to DJ Humphries, guys. I know that the majority of Chiefs fans understand, to your guys' point earlier today, if it ain't broke, why are you trying to fix it? But this is the plan. Most coaches are loyal. DJ Humphries has more playoff experience than Mike Caliendo, because he's included into this equation. And I know people have said this before. Yes, you can go back to, you know, Joe Tooney and you know, Caliendo, if something goes wrong. The question is how quick is the hook?
Yeah.
I think, in my opinion. So if you had to ask me right now, my most educated guess would be they didn't sign this man to sit on the bench. They signed him to be a key piece in helping the team have a stabilized, you know, offensive line, so that Mahomes and what we saw, especially on Christmas Day, what the skill position can do if you just give Patrick suitable, you know, time. You know, I think the fact that Patrick has had 3 weeks to also rest his ankle, that his mobility, that, you know, this is as healthy as he has been really since, like, I don't know, like October. The fact that he can escape the pocket a little bit easier, that he has his full range of mobility, I think that maybe leads to DJ Humphries getting an opportunity. I know some people have also suggested, yes, maybe this helps in the run game, because you're not having, you know, a left guard, left tackle trying to push, you know, so you can get to the perimeter maybe a little bit easier. But I just think Andy Reid is going to try to do right by DJ Humphries, and in placing the faith in the veteran, you hope to be rewarded by not having things sort of be discombobulated, especially early on. I think that's what concerns me the most, is if DJ Humphries does start, like I think at this point in time, how quickly can he get up to the speed, and will the speed sort of because, again, playoff football is different than regular season. Obviously, it's different than preseason. The intensity, the skill position players, the fact that there's all this game plan specific tactics, you know, being thrown against you. If he can withstand that in the first quarter, then I think you feel comfortable. But if he's overwhelmed, or if he just can't match the game speed, the intensity, because he's only played in two games, I think that troubles me more than just about anything else.
You have an article this week on The Athletic about Patrick Mahomes and kind of, you know, explaining his season, if you will, right?
Yes. So I just want to remind people, I'm just going to throw a couple statistics at you, ladies and gentlemen. This man is not going to win the MVP award, yet he is doing more in some ways than Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Obviously, we're going to watch them play against one another on Sunday. Gentlemen, do you realize that Patrick Mahomes has completed a pass to 18 different teammates? That is the most in his career for this particular season, and that's the most of any quarterback this season. I know that Lamar Jackson has Derrick Henry to take some of the burden off of his shoulders. Obviously, Josh Allen is multi-talented. And look, they traded for Amari Cooper, and it's done pretty well. Patrick Mahomes has generated 72.5% of the Chiefs' offensive yards this season. That is the most of any quarterback in the league. So he's doing the things while also having, you know, seven game-winning drives, while also playing through multiple injuries, the left ankle early, the right ankle late, trying to integrate, obviously, you know, Hollywood Brown into the mix late, trying to develop alongside with Andy Reid and Matt Nagy, Xavier Worthy throughout the season, losing Rashee Rice because you injured him after a poor interception. Like, he is still finding ways to evolve, to play at a higher level than we had seen in, honestly, last season. Like, I know statistically it won't look the same, but I'm trying to explain to you guys, he's playing better football this season than he did last season when they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So if he can continue to play at this level or even elevate it a little bit more, now having the rest, having the bye week, it just informs you that it's going to be really, really hard for someone to come into Arrowhead Stadium with this guy playing at this high of a level and trying to knock off the Chiefs. So I know Chiefs fans are worried. They have plenty of reasons to be worried. But I'm here to tell you guys, he's playing better football. We'll never see another 2022 season. Never. That was a magical year, but he is playing better this year than last year.
Well, and I don't disagree with that. I've been saying Patrick Mahomes is the true MVP of this league for quite some time now, and because of the things that he does. Because if you take away his offensive line like we saw this year, you take away his number one wide receiver, his number one running back, I don't know that Lamar or Josh Allen is able to go out there and have that type of success like Patrick Mahomes has had. And you said 2022 is never going to be repeated. 2018 is never going to be repeated, and yet that's what seemingly everybody comes back to, Nate, when they talk right about Mahomes, is yes, that first year of 50 and 5,000. That's so outdated right now.
Right, and it's not a requirement where you can make a legitimate argument, Bob, that like, hey, man, that was kind of required. Orlando Scandrick was his number two cornerback.
Right, no, it was 100% required. He had to go out there and do that for the team to win. Right. Yeah.
Right, yeah, and so it's a little bit different now. And, you know, one of the things that will be in this article, it'll come out tomorrow, is he is yet reminding you again, I don't care about stats. I really don't. And the play reflects that. Like, I will just do whatever is necessary on that particular day to help my team win. And that's what matters. He's been frustrated plenty of times this season. He's still a human being. But he's not looking for what he did in 2018, what he did in 2019, obviously leading the Chiefs to their first Super Bowl victory in 50 years. But he's also not even trying to look at what he was trying to do in 2022. He continues to advance and not being afraid to say, like, I don't have to be that guy I was, you know, X amount of years, whatever, later. I'm going to get these guys right. I'm going to make sure that, like, when DeAndre Hopkins arrives, he understands that, like, I will morph my game towards his game more so than he even has to morph his game toward mine. And I just think that is something that we might appreciate more, you know, when we look back at Patrick's career, but I'm just saying right now, it's hard to equate what other quarterback could do this year after year, where you're still the same talent level. He's still the most talented quarterback in the league, but he's beating you and he's getting wins in a, not, I won't say unorthodox manner, but in a manner that like is not year over year. Like he just continued to kind of like do the same things. No, he's doing things differently and the results are actually getting better. That's what's terrifying. It's like, well, they won 15 games and they could still play better if he gets the suitable, competent protection starting Saturday against the Houston Texans.
Nate, who do you want to see in the next round if it is happening, Buffalo or Baltimore?
I want Baltimore.
Mm.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know we all remember, last year's game against the Bills, you know, in Buffalo for the first time. That was the first, you know, true road playoff game for the Chiefs under Mahomes. I know we all remember that magnificent game in 2021. I just think Baltimore has more options than, hey, can Josh Allen be Superman for 3 hours? Mm-hmm. And by the way, he probably gonna have to be that on Sunday. Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson just offer a different style than the Bills do, and I think styles that are contrasting obviously make for great theater. Mm-hmm. We have the history of, like, Baltimore really kind of going through the motions at times this year, but now that we know it's the playoffs, they'll be highly motivated to get some level of revenge against the Chiefs for what happened in the AFC Championship game last year. And as much as I appreciate Bills fans, the Ravens truly believe, like, we would have won on opening night if my boy's toe wasn't on the line.
Yeah, well, it wasn't.
And by the way, everybody knows this. Like, I think people remember it. But, like, had that touchdown counted, John Harbaugh was going to keep Lamar in the offense on the field. They were going to go for two to win the game in regulation. So I just think Baltimore's probably the better team. That doesn't mean they'll win on Sunday against the Bills, but I do think, you know, getting the repeat matchup in the championship game is always great. Whether it was, like, you know, when I grew up, whether it was the Packers versus the Cowboys, and then a few years later, it's like Cowboys versus 49ers. Whenever you can get a rematch of two really good teams, obviously two MVP candidates, in the AFC title game year over year, and you change the venue, right? Like, mm-hmm. 1 year, it's like, hey, when is Peyton Manning going to stop playing the Patriots in Gillette Stadium? And it's like, finally, it was 2006. It wasn't it was a championship game, I remember, where the Patriots finally had to go to the RCA Dome in Indianapolis. When you flip the venues year over year, it's excellent. So for all those reasons, and because I think it'll be a great game of whose style can withstand and outlast the opponents, I would say Ravens versus Chiefs.
Is Jalen Watson playing?
Yep, he's playing and he's going to start. They can't really hide it. They need him. And again, if you can have Jalen Watson and Joshua Williams on the perimeter, now it moves Trent McDuffie back to the slot, his most naturally gifted position, where he can blitz. He can obviously cover Nico Collins. If they want to move Nico Collins to the slot, which I think the Texans probably will do. And hey, you know, if Jalen Watson can hold up in man coverage, I just think Steve Spagnuolo is going to try to put C.J. Stroud in hell with more blitzes, more pressures, more simulated looks. It's going to be like, it's funny. Like, I think the more tactical part of the game for the Chiefs is actually on defense, because we are going to see Jalen Watson and we are going to see Charles Omenihu. Those two had not played together all season, and everybody on defense is healthy. So it's not like Spags doesn't have the players and the resources to try to do some funky things compared to the first matchup, to try to get C.J. Stroud off his rhythm, get him uncomfortable, and, you know, try to hit him a couple times.
All right, my man. Well, hey, you stay warm, enjoy the game, have fun, and hopefully we're doing this again and talking about an AFC Championship game for, what, the seventh consecutive year for Patrick Mahomes? Just wild, dude. Just completely
wild. Right. I mean, regardless of what happens on Saturday, I have to include it in the story. The baseline, ladies and gentlemen, which again is crazy. The baseline for Patrick Mahomes is the AFC Championship game. Mm. Wild.
No doubt. Well, hey, man, we'll talk to you next week, and you take care and have a good Saturday. And, hey, enjoy the Sunday off or maybe the second straight week.
Yes, sir. It sounds great to me.
That's right. Nate Taylor, The Athletic, they're presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Jalen Watson, 100% playing.
Watson!
And he's gonna start. That's the best audio I heard in that entire interview. Glad to hear that, man. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff there. Coming up on the other side.
Getting healthy at the right time.
Funny how that works, right? It's not who's the best team right now. It's who's the healthiest team. Speaking of healthy, this can't be a healthy mindset when you lose a bet. All I want is this guy to prove it. Coming up on the other side, 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City Sports.
I don't.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Hate or love it, we got another hour and 10 minutes left. We'll get back into the Trent McDuffie, Chris Jones conversation we had earlier because I think it's kind of interesting. Speaking of interesting, Mac, do you believe this story or do you think he'll actually pull through with it? Or go away with it?
I think he's serious.
I mean, if he is serious about this, this person probably should just go and hide in Montana for the rest of their lives. This is stupid. This is one of the dumbest things ever.
Bozeman's great.
Yeah, I just say prove it. You ever see the movie Big Daddy? It's an Adam Sandler film. He goes, I'm once the guy that shaved his ass for $100 bet. Prove it. Hello, fellow degenerates. As many of you are aware, 2 months ago I made a bet that I would chop off my humongous ding dong if the Notre Dame Fighting Irish won the college football playoffs. I just wanted to make it very clear that if Notre Dame wins the national championship, I will firmly stick to my word.
No, you won't.
And receive a professional surgery that will safely remove my penis. The timeline for this, though, will have to be flexible as I do not consider my wife, my wife, who would like to have at least 2 children. In the event that I have to follow through with my bet, she has agreed to accelerate our family planning so I can get the surgery as soon as possible. I refuse to let my team be cursed, and if it means that I will lose my blank in the process, then so be it.
This person's an idiot.
You better hope Notre Dame loses.
What has your team ever done for you that you're willing to do that for them?
I mean, that's tough.
That ain't like making a bet and like our friend Jimmy Fassler having to walk into the old Shawnee Day parade saying I suck at fantasy football. This is dumb. I mean, the doctors should not allow this to happen. Like when you go in and meet with the doctor and he says, what are you here for today? Well, I'm thinking about having my penis removed because Notre Dame lost won the championship. That's where the doctor should get up and say, is this Borat? Like what are we doing here? Am I being punked? You know, is this candid camera? Is this a radio station? Okay, you got me. Like, what's going on here?
He's going to have to go to, like, the sticks to get it cut off.
Oh, I'm sure there's some doctor in like Arkansas that's got like a scalpel ready to go.
First off, like, where's your, like, why is your wife like supporting this?
Yeah,
like,
that's the other thing. Who is she? Yeah. Like, you're married to this woman and she wants to have a family and she's willing to accelerate family planning so you can, like, I got to be honest with you, as you guys know about Tuesdays for us, like, it's more than just about family planning, okay? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, like, this sounds so stupid. And like, Notre Dame needs to get involved and say, this can't happen, and give the guy a jersey or something, or, you know, invite him to a game, put him in a suite, give him some cold nachos, or, you know, like, there's got it. Like, send Marcus Freeman to his house to talk to him. Like, give this guy something so he doesn't, like, go through this. And then if you're the doctor and you allow this and you do this, you should lose your medical license. Because this is one of those things where you do need to intervene as the doctor and say, we're not doing this.
Well, didn't he say, too, he's, like, rooting against his team now?
Yeah.
That's the worst part. I'm like, okay, well, then this bet sucks all around. You're losing your penis, and you're not rooting for your team. So you're 0-2 now.
Yeah.
And I hate to break it to him. Like, Notre Dame's not going to win.
I don't think so
either. Notre Dame's not going to win.
I'm the weird one that I didn't know you could actually have a surgery from a doctor that would just cut your jimmy off.
But then,
I didn't know that was a surgery.
But then what?
It's like, now you just have a stump? Or do they, like, tuck it in?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope it out.
It's, like, it just doesn't make sense.
It's like, if he gets excited, does it, like, grow a centimeter? Like, what happens? Like, do they cut all the nerves out? Like, I just literally did not know that you could do this. I didn't know you could literally go to the doctor and be like, cut it off. I want to be rich and I want to be alone.
And this guy who's doing it, like, how many people even know that you made this bet? Like, why would you even bring it up?
Yeah,
like,
just,
if you made this bet and you probably made it after the Northern Illinois loss, which you're drunk, you're hammered, you just got beat by Northern Illinois. I'll cut it off if they, oh my God.
From the 314, it says just give him a Vegemite sandwich. Could you imagine if that was like in Fesco's League of Losers?
He's like,
if
nope,
you lost,
you'd
eat an entire Vegemite sandwich. Bob might just never be in the league again.
I mean, no. And whose wife is it? Like, if you're married to a woman who would allow you to do that, you're married to the wrong woman.
Nah, that means she's got somebody else.
That's exactly what that
exactly
means.
Right.
She's like, yeah, you can cut it off. It's fine.
Sure. Just give me the children. But, you know, Tom over here down the street, I'll tell you what. Woo, I don't have to worry about you anymore. Who's doing this? Like, that's why I go back to, like, fans are willing to do so much for their teams, and their teams would never consider doing anything for them.
And you got a bad doctor if he's like, yeah, lay on your back, I'll numb it.
Get ready.
We'll just knock this out.
The state would probably take that doctor's license away, I would think, if he did something like that.
It's like stuff they do in the movie Hostel. Yeah, this is just, and again, like, we know it's a publicity stunt, I'm sure. No,
but how is he getting publicity? What's he doing?
But, like, why would that be? Like, somebody brought this up.
Like, the Hawk Tua girl's going to make more money ultimately than this guy.
Well,
didn't she already? I mean,
we got to make sure she can hold on to it. Somebody's like,
I didn't say keep her money. I'd say make
more money.
That's
true.
Yeah, and, like, somebody's like, yeah, true. Somebody's like, all right, can we be done with people saying bets if a team loses or wins? Like, a beefy five-layer burrito guy? I guess I'm unaware of that. What is the beefy five-layer burrito?
I don't know that one.
Did he have to eat like 15 of them or something? I almost cussed right there.
That sounds pretty easy.
What, 15 five-layer burritos?
Okay, I guess the time limit. Dude, I guess I need a time.
You wouldn't have an ass after that. Oh, gosh. Dude will never go through it. It's BS. Yeah, there's no chance. Like, imagine if, like, Notre Dame wins and you're like, oh.
Mm.
I mean, I'd be, that. Oh, gosh.
And you know what? If you're Ohio State, because of this, just forfeit.
Yes. You know, let's screw this guy.
You know what? Winning would be great, but watching this guy get his thing cut off would be even better.
Congratulations to the national champion Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and to that guy who no longer has his little clover.
That's right. Yeah.
It's all over. Somebody says you have to numb it before you nub it. Coming up on the other side, we'll dive back in more into who the unsung heroes could be in this Chiefs game. Plus, Nate Taylor had a very, very intriguing piece of audio about a defensive player for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll dive into it on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5. The